In the chapter leading up to today's gospel reading, the theme of what Jesus is teaching his disciples revolves around being ready for the apocalypse. Jesus wants his disciples to acknowledge and embrace his teaching before this apocalyptic change happens. He wants them to be responsible stewards. He wants them to live into the confidence of what God provides. He wants them to be ready. He wants them to be faithful. And he wants them to be able to endure the social disruptions of the last days. Jesus knows that this change in their lives needs to begin now, because transformation is a process. Today's gospel is in two parts. First, we hear that no one person's sin is worse than another's sin. We hear that death will happen, but not all death, be it slaughter by an unjust government or meeting death through an accident, not all death, injury, or illness is punishment from God, which is what they believed at the time. Bad things happen to sinful people. That's what they thought. Those who faced death in the examples Jesus used in the gospel today, they must have been really sinful. But in the scripture, Jesus corrects and heals that misunderstanding of God. Now, we do know that with sin comes consequences, which can lead to a variety of unwanted outcomes. But the deeper focus in the gospel is about repentance. It's about healing the ways in which we create separation in the relationships with God and with our relationships with each other. In this change from repentance, in this healing, we will die, but our deaths will be different. Repentance, for me growing up, was something like, say you're sorry and don't do it again, Kirk. Okay, acknowledge it and stop it. Acknowledge those things you are doing that are creating separation between you and God, and between you and other people. In the church, I was taught that repentance was doing a 180-degree turn away from what is causing the sin. That word repentance does mean turn. And I've also preached this understanding to you. In Luke, repentance is not just saying we are sorry, not just stopping our sin, and not just turning away from it. In Luke, repentance takes a step further and actually requires action. This action is one that changes and heals things that we have done and things that we have left undone. Repentance does begin with an acknowledgement of the things in our lives that cause separation. Repentance does require us to stop engaging in harmful thoughts, words, and deeds. But repentance is more. It requires an action of healing. Now, the second part, the parable of the fig tree. In this gospel, we hear how the landowner shows up. He's been watching this fig tree for a few years, and it has not produced fruit. He wants the gardener to just cut it down. It's not doing what it was planted to do. So just cut it down. It's a waste of space. Let's try something new. Let's just start over. That sounds kind of apocalyptic, don't you think? The gardener pleads to give the tree another year. My focus on this story, traditionally, has been on the tree. The tree wasn't doing what it was supposed to do. It wasn't worthy of the land where it was planted. So let's cut it down. Today, however, my focus is on the gardener for not doing what he was supposed to do in the first place. The gardener was hired, was called to tend the tree. The gardener was supposed to have already loosened that soil. He was already supposed to have nurtured that tree, fertilized it, watered it, and given it what it needed to bear fruit. Now, the landowner grants the gardener one more year. I read something somewhere that called this year a grace period, which makes me think of what would happen if I didn't pay my bills on time. I mean, what's the grace period? The grace period is that time where there is some lenience. There is intentionality to it. It's not a period of time to just sit there and do nothing. There are negative consequences for doing that, for just simply doing nothing, right? The grace period is a time that is designated to allow you to correct the problem or to meet your obligation before it's too late. So, the landowner has granted a grace period to the gardener to fix it, to have that tree bear fruit. Now, this bearing fruit language, the listeners of Luke's gospel already know this, and it's important for us to know it for the understanding of taking repentance a step further, because John the Baptist preached his message saying that we are to bear fruit worthy of repentance. Not just say we're sorry and stop doing it. We have to bear fruit worthy of repentance, or repentance is not really happening. We are not just to sit there and be idle. Now, I have two big examples. They share a common theme, which was not intentional, but I do think it's a theme that is important for us to hear in today's society. Oskar Schindler, a German and member of the Nazi Party, arrived in Krakow in occupied Poland in 1939. He hired Jews to operate his enamelware and ammunitions factories, and he began making a fortune from the war. When the SS begins exterminating Jews in the Krakow ghetto, Schindler arranged to have his workers protected to keep his factories in operation and to keep the money rolling in. But what happened inadvertently, Schindler began building relationships with his workers. Those relationships changed the way he saw them. These relationships with his Jewish employees changed him in a way that created conflicts how his political party saw them. I don't know about you, but it is in relationship I interact and connect with the divine. These relationships changed Schindler's understanding of humanity so much that he spent his entire fortune to save the lives of 1,200 Jews. He acknowledged that the way he saw society was not as it should be. He stopped and turned away from that understanding, and he began to repair and heal the best that he could the wrongs that he helped create. The second example is a more modern time. At age 14, Christian Pocanelli, born and raised in Blue Island, Illinois, went from being a naive teenager to white supremacist. And soon after that, he became the leader of the group. He then branched out by starting the first neo-Nazi skinhead gang in the United States, an extremely violent hate group. The Christian was so filled with hate that he formed rock bands that toured across Europe and the U.S., spreading this hatred. But something changed in Christian. He had his eyes and heart opened, and in response to that grace, in response to having a grace period in which to correct the separation and sin that he had spewed out into the world, Christian co-founded a nonprofit peace advocacy organization called Life After Hate. He has now dedicated his life to help others transform their lives away from racism, extremism, hatred. The full circle of repentance. Those are huge examples. And my hope is that we don't have sitting here in our pews people that believe whites are supreme over all other races. But we might. Only you and God know what's in your heart on that topic. I do know that we all have things in our hearts that we have been taught that are sinful, ideas and understandings that separate us from others. It makes me ask, are the sins of those who were slaughtered by Pontius Pilate or the sins of a white supremacy group any worse than yours? Are those sins any worse than mine? If greed is something that controls your life, acknowledge it, stop being greedy, and start giving it away. If you are one who lives into the term sexism, thinking that one sex is better than another, that one should control the other, that one is worth more or should get paid more than another, stop it. If your view is from the male perspective, maybe you should attend the next women's march. That would be an outward and visible sign of your change. There are so many groups that we've given labels that it is easy to find ourselves being a snob. Do we use that term, snob, here in Nevada? Well, we certainly do back in Oklahoma. Being a snob comes from believing you are better than someone else or better than some other group. Maybe you are a snob against the homeless or any social class that you feel is beneath you. Maybe your snobbishness could be towards a different group, like maybe things that have to do with age. Maybe you're a snob against the millennials or the elderly. Maybe you're a snob against anything that you would not want for yourself. Say like someone's hair color or hairstyle. Maybe you're against the music someone listens to, or maybe you judge people for what they wear. Maybe your internal judgment moves into making fun of other people, telling jokes, making snide comments, or giving them a label. Maybe even a label like snob. First, we have to acknowledge that we are all God's children, that we are all unique, and we are all worthy and have the freedom to live into our uniqueness. After we stop and then change the way we see others, we have to move past living into the part of our Sunday confession that talks about the sin of things we have left undone. We have to continue the repentance process and take action. How do we respond when we find ourselves with someone who makes a joke that promotes the sin of raising themselves up by pushing others down? Are we going to be idle in that moment, or are we going to have the courage to say, you know, I just don't believe that. I don't believe what you're saying is right, and I can't listen to it. It's not, however, it's not saying, you're a horrible person for saying that. We don't want to become what we are trying to change and trying to heal. But we can add our voice and actions to the world in a way that promotes and spreads the light that we believe God is calling us to be. If we choose to live into the season of Lent, we can use this time as a grace period. We can use this time of grace to identify the things in our lives that create separation. We can use this time not to beat ourselves up by thinking how bad and shameful we are, but instead, we can use this time to respond to God working in our lives. Repentance is not complete without helping changing our society and healing it from the sinful things that we ourselves help to nurture and grow. Repentance is vitally important because if we listened to today's gospel reading, whatever it means, there will be a time when the grace period ends. Amen.